Great. So my talk this afternoon is from some work that I did when I was at the University of Pittsburgh as a part of my doctoral training. And it focuses primarily on type 1 diabetes complications, long-term complications in patients with type 1 diabetes. As we've discussed, and maybe everybody understands, is that type 1 diabetes, unlike type 2 diabetes, is not preventable, and at this point it's not curable. And it's often associated with considerable excess morbidity due to long-term acute and chronic complications, as well as premature mortality. Despite advances in disease management over the last couple of decades for diabetes, African Americans remain at nearly three times the risk for premature mortality compared to their non-Hispanic white counterparts with type 1 diabetes. In addition to their mortality being much higher, it often occurs much sooner at a much early age. The factors that really are contributing to this disparity are unclear. Though the differences in mortality are likely associated with severity of complications and also when complications are onset. The trouble is many epidemiological studies have not really extensively investigated the racial differences between blacks and whites with type 1 diabetes as it relates to their complication status. This limitation really to existing research is because most of the cohort studies that are currently looking at patients with type 1 diabetes don't have sufficient racial diversity in terms of their makeup of the study to be able to make black-white comparisons. And this is because historically non-Hispanic blacks have maintained lower rates of type 1 diabetes, which is not the case any longer. Most recent studies are showing that not only is the incidence in this population rising, but it has slowly or pretty rapidly balanced itself with its non-Hispanic white counterparts. And this is still just talking about type 1 diabetes. There's a wealth of information about diabetes, complications, risk factors, and other health information in national surveys. However, the prevalence of complications in patients with type 1 diabetes in these data sets has not really been looked at. And this is largely due to the point that was made earlier that in most national data sets, they don't ask you what type of diabetes you have. The question is simply, were you diagnosed with diabetes? And that's kind of a flaw, not a flaw, but it's a limitation of most of the national surveys. And for someone that's doing research in diabetes, it does make it very difficult because you can't often parse out who has type 1 and type 2. And the pathological processes that take place in both of those diseases, while very similar, are very different. And the experience that those patients have also are very different. Patients with type 1 diabetes often are on insulin early on in their diagnosis, and they tend to have a much more complicated trajectory in terms of their having to manage their condition. So the objective of this study was to try to utilize a national sample to be able to look at racial differences in type 1 diabetes complications. And the second objective was to look at modifiable risk factors and their impact on race in these outcomes. What I really wanted to do was, one, to develop an algorithm to be able to identify patients with type 1 diabetes in a national set, a national data set. And number two, I wanted to be able to look to see what differences may exist in the prevalence of three major complications that we often associate with diabetes, and also look to see what risk factors were associated with those complications in both race groups to see where variations lie. And the benefit of doing that is that if you understand what risk factors are associated with complications, it may provide some clinical insight in terms of where you might want to target your prevention efforts. Okay. where you may consider targeting prevention efforts if, in fact, to either delay onset of a complication or not. I don't know if we have an AV person, but I'll just try to talk a little. Can everybody hear me? Okay. It's going in and out. So moving along to my methods. So I used data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. So I combined years 1999 and 2008 to ensure I had a large enough sample size, particularly because in NHANES and in the general population, the prevalence of type 1 diabetes is relatively low. As you saw earlier in Ola's presentation, it was probably about less than 0.25% of the population. So I combined the 10 years of data so that I could have a relatively decent size sample size. And so the first thing I had to do, of course, was to develop the algorithm to identify patients with type 1 diabetes in the data set. And so what I used as a definition was any patient that was diagnosed with diabetes less than the age of 30 on continuous insulin therapy that was initiated within 1 year of diagnosis, and they were currently using insulin. So basically, NHANES asked patients or respondents when they started using insulin, how long they've had diabetes, and it also asks them if they're currently using insulin. So you're able to see patients with type 1 diabetes often are initiated on insulin therapy within their first year of diagnosis, and so I'm able to tell how long a person's been using insulin. So I developed a few different definitions, and I won't go into a lot of detail about this because it could take up the whole 15 minutes, but I wanted to look at various definitions to see which one worked best. And so what I did was I actually collected data from in the National Health Interview Survey as well as the BRFSS to be able to kind of compare various definitions based on data elements that were available in those data sets as well to see how well my definition was performing comparatively. So long story short, the next thing I did after I did that was to validate my definition. NHANES also collects, blood samples from the respondents in the survey. And so one of the tests that they do is a C-peptide test. And that test is basically a clinical marker to be able to help us distinguish between patients that have type 1 and type 2 diabetes. It's not as sensitive when a patient is much older because most patients with advanced type 2 diabetes tend to have C-peptide values that are comparable to a young person that diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, but it is a hard, fast measure that we can use to be able to say whether or not you have type 1 and type 2. And what you see here is basically the Kappa statistic for both of my, all four of their definitions, and so I did go with definition number 2 as my final decision. It had the best sensitivity in that analysis. So I also collected a variety of other measures from NHANES, including age, other demographics like gender, race, household income, as well as a variety of clinical characteristics to be able to look at the risk factors that you see on this slide. So the three primary risk complications that I was interested in were, one, cardiovascular disease as defined by congestive heart failure or self-reported heart attack, self-reported coronary artery disease or self-reported angina. Also nephropathy, which was classified as self-reported diagnosis of weak or failing kidneys, as well as having received dialysis in the last year. And then the third complication was retinopathy, which was self-reported, again, if diabetes had affected their eyes or self-report of retinopathy diagnosis. And so three risk factors that I also looked at were hypertension and hypercholesterolemia, as well as their smoking status. And for those measures, it was either an actual clinical measurement by as measured in the NHANES study, or was self-reported diagnosis of the condition or use of medication for that condition. For my statistical analysis, with NHANES, it is a weighted survey, so I'd utilize the recommended NHANES weighting to account for non-response bias, as well as the sampling weights. T-test and one-way ANOVA were used to test for differences between non-Hispanic blacks and whites and baseline characteristics, as well as the prevalence of complications and risk factors were calculated in 10-year duration groups, which is the best way to look at complication in patients with diabetes. So you basically take their duration as the x-axis, so how long has a person had diabetes to be able to look at the complication status. So here's my first table. It's basically a baseline characteristic of the sample. As you see, there were the mean age was around 35. There were no real differences in most of the demographic factors except in the non-Hispanic black cohort. There was a higher body mass index and a higher waist circumference, which I found kind of interesting because often patients with type 1 diabetes do maintain relatively low weights over the course of their life. But in fact, these individuals were, so I did some mining of the data to look at more clearly to understand this patient population, and these folks were pretty convincingly type 1 diabetics. And the last difference that was very much significant was the AC ratio, which is a measure of kidney function. It was drastically different in the non-Hispanic black population. So in terms of my results, as you might expect, there was not a lot of cardiovascular disease at the earlier duration years. So just to orient you to this figure, this is 10-year duration grouping. So on the x-axis, it's 1 to 10 years, 11 to 20 years, and 21 years, a longer duration. So that's from date of diagnosis to when that survey was actually collected by individuals. So as you can see, there wasn't much, a great difference between, and the grayer bar is non-Hispanic whites, and the fully shaded bar, black bar, is the non-Hispanic blacks. And there wasn't a great difference in the prevalence of cardiovascular disease at the time of survey for greater than 21-year duration. But you'll note that there was a slightly higher prevalence in the non-Hispanic white group, but it wasn't significantly different. So the second thing I did was, after looking at the prevalence, was in each race group to look to see what were the risk factors for having that particular complication. And there were some variations. And as you can tell, wherever it's highlighted yellow, that's where that independent race had, it was a risk factor for that race, but not the other race. And where it's pink is where they had common risk factors. And the common risk factors for cardiovascular disease, as you might expect in both races, were high cholesterol and presence of nephropathy. And these findings have been confirmed in several other previous studies. And so it's pretty consistent with what we might expect. The only thing that was interesting here that was different than what I expected was household income was a greater predictor of cardiovascular disease in the non-Hispanic black groups, but not in the non-Hispanic white group. And we found that SES has pretty much been a consistent predictor of most complications in all risk groups. The next complication was nephropathy, and pretty astounding here that you see that the non-Hispanic black cohort were had a greater risk of nephropathy at pretty much every duration year, and pretty dramatically so. And this is pretty consistent with what our mortality data has shown. Most of the non-Hispanic blacks who are dying prematurely often have complications of the kidneys, and that's usually the primary reason for their death. And so this is pretty shocking difference, but at the same time consistent with what I might expect. So, and again, to kind of put this into context, you know, this is individuals with 11 to 20 years duration. 50% of them have developed kidney disease by the time they get to 11 to 20 year duration. And so we think most of these folks were diagnosed in their teenage years. So 15 years out, by the time they're 35, on average, they have kidney disease. And again, here, the primary predictors, the common predictors in terms of kidney disease in both race groups were glycemic control, which is a marker of how well they're controlling their blood sugar, as well as hypertension, which is both have commonly been predictors of nephropathy in previous studies. Finally, retinopathy was the final complication I wanted to look at. And again, there was a pretty large difference between blacks at all duration groups. And this is a finding that was also very, there's one study that's an all non-Hispanic black study in New Jersey of all basically type 1 diabetics that are all non-Hispanic black. And they basically, the study was started by an ophthalmologist there, and a lot of her work is shown that retinopathy is probably the first complication that non-Hispanic blacks with type 1 diabetes have, and it usually happens very, very early, and that's pretty much consistent with what we're seeing here. And even at 1 to 10 years duration, nearly 20% of the sample had some evidence of retinopathy. Here, there was some variation and no similar risk factors for retinopathy in both race groups, but nephropathy was not a significant predictor in the non-Hispanic white group, which was relatively surprising because, again, in most previous studies, we've shown that nephropathy has been a significant predictor of retinopathy itself. So the most interesting part for me was to really be able to look to see what role race played in all of this. So when I did the logistic regression where race itself was considered to be a predictor, I wanted to see, taking into account all things that we know to be risk factors for all of these complications, is race still a risk factor? And for cardiovascular disease, there was no significant difference there. Once I adjusted for the clinical variables as well as the socioeconomic status. But as you see, even with nephropathy and retinopathy, even after adjusting for all of the clinical risk factors that are noted at the bottom of the screen, as well as adjusting for socioeconomic status, race was still a very much significant predictor. And so what that said to me was, despite what we all know to be kind of the clinical predictors of these complications in this population, there's something still more relative to the race groups that we don't understand as to why the outcomes are as poor as they are. And so, in conclusion, there were no differences, as I might have expected, given the obesity that was present in the non-Hispanic black group. There were no differences in the prevalence of cardiovascular disease. Non-Hispanic blacks had higher rates of nephropathy at greater than 10 years duration. Non-Hispanic blacks had higher rates of retinopathy at all duration periods. And race was a significant predictor of nephropathy and retinopathy, even after adjusting for clinical and demographic variables. some study limitations that I think are worth noting. One, this is a cross-sectional study, so thereby being limited, we're not able to follow these people over time, and we're not able to understand when their risk factors were actually, when they actually started. The criteria that I used for the NHANES, while I did a pretty decent sensitivity analysis, it was not an exact report of type of diabetes, so there may be some type 2 diabetics in the mix. These were self-reported responses largely on the questionnaires, except for the clinical measures that were measured as a part of the study. There's a small absolute sample size. It's about 350 cases overall in the entire study. So though with the weighting, of course, it does help with the standard errors. And there may be some temporal variations. I did combine a decade's worth of data. So in fact, there may be some time variations that have occurred that wasn't able to take into account. Thanks. That's it. Thank you.